You know what time it is. How's everybody doing? Good? We got a lot of survivors in the house. You guys are going to have a great night here. I was on Millennials versus Gen X, if you didn't know. If I won, I'd be on 40, wouldn't I? You know? All right, you guys ready? I have to do this a cappella, so I'm going to need all your help. We ready? The smartest guys around, come on, are about to break it down like they won the game a million times. Actually, they didn't win the game at all. Survivor know-it-alls. Oh, come on, let's go. Survivor know-it-alls. Oh, stand by. Steven and Rob, without a doubt, got the game all figured out. They know it all. Whoa, survivor know-it-alls. Rob, thanks for having me, bud. I love you, buddy. Should have won, both of them. This should be on 40.
Oh, the beautiful voice of an angel, Brent LaBelle, everybody. Should we just stand up and do the show? Let's do some crowd work, yeah. Steven.
Rob, before we start, I need to know something. Do you like me at all?
We're gonna come back here. All right. Oh, man.
Okay. I want a good microphone. Okay, let's try this one. Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
So, hey, how about Survivor Winners at War, everybody?
Oh, my God. No. 10 years of Rob has a podcast, everybody.
Yes.
I mean, this is insane. Look at this room. It's packed.
Yeah.
You have done something truly, truly incredible, and I am just, like, happy to be the remora on your belly.
Yeah, so I just want to paint the picture for what this is like for people that aren't at home. We have a capacity crowd here at Busby's East. Can we make some noise? Let the people in the car know that you're here. Yeah. We have a bullpen full of survivors who have been hanging out with us for hours. We are going to hear from many of them here tonight. We have two tribal councils to talk about. The first two winners have been sent to the edge, and this is just the start of our podcasting week.
Unbelievable.
No exit interview, but I am also going to be talking with one of the winners not at war on Thursday. Tina Wesson will be my guest on the podcast.
Missed.
Steven's like, what? Not JT?
I know, yeah.
Anyway, Steven, how are you doing?
Oh, my God. What an episode. I'm kind of sad. Like,
I know.
Seeing Amber get eliminated was sort of... She's, like, too pure for this game. Was it hard for you to see your former Chapera tribe mate go? Or were you sort of like, you know what? You voted me out pre-merge.
I took no joy in it. Yeah. I was excited to see what Amber potentially was going to do. And again, this is... We have the edge of extinction, so we're really not saying goodbye to anybody. But I would have liked to have seen Amber, like, have a, you know, fair shot at the game. We have a lot to talk through. So I know we just watched that tribal council, but yeah. I almost feel like that we have one tribal council from the first tribe from the first hour to talk about, and a second tribal council to talk about from the second hour.
Yeah.
But there's a lot going on here tonight, Stephen.
Well, let's jump on in. My God.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so tribal council number one, Natalie Anderson goes home.
First person.
I didn't see anybody who had her as a potential first boot.
No, because she seems like someone who's going to be strong in the challenges. She's well-connected, but isn't part of any poker group. You know, she seems like that kind of person who's going to be sort of, you know, middle of the road. But I actually think she is the perfect first boot for this season. And the reason for that is that, A, it's great for Jeremy, right? Like, his big other target is there. And B, like, she's a warrior. She's going to kill it on the edge of extinction.
Yeah. It is going to be wild to see how this is going to play out. Actually, could we try to get the bullpen to be a little a little more quiet, because we have a whole bar area where we can have a lot of conversations. Can you guys hear us? Okay. All right. Yeah. If we could, David Wright, could you control the bullpen a little bit over there? Yeah. Anyway, all right, so Stephen, I was really surprised, and I got to see this episode on Monday night because I went to the screening that that they had, and I thought, okay, well, Adam Klein is going to be the first boot, and I didn't even see Natalie as a potential target. I thought that, like, okay, Jeremy and Natalie, like, maybe that's a misdirect. I expected Adam to be voted out, and then I really wonder, maybe Adam is even deserving of a fishy, potentially.
I think so, yeah.
He might have put this whole thing together.
That's what it seemed to me. It seemed to me this combination of Ben and Adam, who were the two people, you know, because Ben, it really did seem like it was going to be Adam or Denise. And then Ben had this feeling, oh, Adam knows the game really well. Like, maybe he can help guide me. I mean, Ben also knows the game really well, but Adam obviously knows, you know, extensively. He knows all of these contestants' games. And then he was the one who kind of, yeah, flipped it over onto Jeremy Natalie, which is, like, great point. You know, these two people who went on a walk to the water well are a little bit less threatening than the two people who have known each other for, you know, 5 years.
Yeah, it really seemed like that, you know, Adam, like, got his hand caught in the cookie jar. He went to go walk with Denise.
Yeah.
And then that really ended up spiraling. And we've seen this so many times before on Survivor. You leave camp, and any reason, you know better than anybody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There must be some... They must have been kind of looking for an idol, though, right? Like, you don't walk looking for the water well with the map. You're, like, kind of thinking...
They
like,
said
maybe
they got lost. Like,
there.
I feel like they would have told us in confessional, but I think they ended up... Not so much that they got lost. I think that they were, like, slow talking or slow walking to have the, hey, will you be my new Malcolm conversation?
Right.
And so that I don't think that they were actually looking for the idol, but I think they ended up getting, like, lost in the woods. But who do we need to talk to in the bullpen to try to get things to quiet down a little bit?
We need a crowd control artist.
Is it Nick Majorano in there? Can he try to?
That was the wrong
yeah,
reaction.
Is he the bouncer?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that Nick is coming. I think Nick is coming to the stage. Nick, I was asking you to see if you can make everybody be quiet in the bullpen. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, but Stephen, there was so much talk about the poker alliance. Boy, it seems like it's really going to be tough to get anybody out to run it up Reno anytime soon, right? Stephen, you went to Reno.
Oh, no more. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You know what it's like.
Yeah.
You know what it's like that you meet these people and you play a game of cards and then you have a blood
forever
bond
alliance.
For life.
Yeah. Yeah. Forever alliance.
Yeah. But it seemed like for all the talk of the poker alliance, I mean, is the poker alliance Rob, Tyson, Kim, and Jeremy?
And I think like Amber by extension.
Yeah. Well, based on what I saw in the episode, it seemed like that Boston Rob pulled a real dirty move on Jeremy if that poker alliance is a real thing.
Oh, yeah. And Tyson pulled a dirty move on Kim, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta know when to fold him.
So, I mean, it's just so weird. Because for me, that's almost like, oh, these people, you know, we're all together. I mean, do you think that the poker alliance has a lot of weight?
No, I mean, it's like any kind of, like, friendship that you have. Like, it's like Adam was saying, you know, like, and I think Wendell was saying, too, you know, there are relationships that exist. And, like, of course, you have to account for those relationships. But, like, some people are married. Some people have, like, you know, some people have been friends for a decade. You know, like, that. Those relationships have to be deeper than we went to a poker game once. And, like, there's got to be some, like, proportion to how you assess these things. And it really, honestly, like... It seemed like just a very convenient way for people to target other people. I don't even know if the people who said it believed it. You know, I think like, I mean, Sandra did such an amazing job of like putting that target on those poker players. And in the first game too, you know, or the first episode too. But it just did seem like it was more of a way to create a target. I really doubt that, you know, it was that big a deal.
So in that first vote where Natalie ended up going home, I guess it was the old school group of Parvati, Rob, Ethan, and Danny, it seemed like, that they could have gone either way. And they brought Ben along with that. Maybe Ben was connected to Adam.
Right.
And they were seven votes that were on
and
Natalie.
And Ben and Adam were driving that plan, right, of like...
And so... Do you feel like that for the old school group, they could have gone with Jeremy and Natalie? Should they have voted out Adam, or do you like for Rob, Parvati, Ethan, and Danny? Did you like voting out Natalie?
The weird thing about it was that Jeremy seemed tight with them, you know. So why alienate Jeremy? Why vote out Natalie, who's going to be like tight with Jeremy? And when especially like Natalie's a beast, like we saw her in those challenges, she was killing it. I mean, it did seem like a lot of it came down to just people were hesitating to say which of Adam or Denise they should vote for.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I was really surprised that they ended up making such a big move and such a big swing, where it felt like that Adam and Denise seemed like that they were expendable to the group, and it felt like that was a big rift to go after such a key person for Jeremy.
Right. And especially, like, it seems like Adam is going to be, you know, maybe more dangerous longer term. He's obviously knows the game incredibly well. He's super strategic. You know, not that Natalie's not those things, but I would have maybe targeted Adam first. Yeah. And also, like, kind of someone was saying in the second episode, you know, maybe it was Tony saying in the second episode, like, keep the obvious targets around. Like, if the Jeremy-Natalie relationship is a big target, if the Rob and Amber relationship is a big target, like, keep those people.
Yeah. Let me just also one more time just address the Survivor bullpen, if we could. That I know there's a lot of people that are can you guys hear us okay?
Not really.
Yeah. But we have a whole other bar area where if people want to talk, that's a great place to go and talk.
Oh yeah.
If you could, if that's okay, and then also come talk with us on the stage, and then we could all hear. But yeah. Thank you, Brett LaBelle.
Thank you. Should have deputized him immediately.
Yeah, we should have deputized Brett LaBelle. But Stephen, then that what you're saying also brings me to that second tribal where I was the threat of Amber because she is married to Boston Rob.
Yeah,
I feel like, and maybe as somebody who was voted out by Amber, maybe you know I don't learn from anything.
Yeah.
But I feel like Tony said Amber isn't doing anything. Like Tyson, he's a smart guy. Kim Sprodlin. But Amber, she's not bothering anybody.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have left Amber alone.
Right, because for all those reasons. I mean, you know she's always going to be a target. She's not like stirring things up.
I really feel like you have, you know, with all due respect to Amber, that she's there and I wanted to see what she could do.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed.
But if the options were, who do we get rid of?
Right.
Amber, Kim, or Tyson, it seems like that Amber would be the least threatening person to leave in the game. I know she's married to Rob, but I don't know. I feel like that was a questionable call for me as well.
But Kim and Tyson, though, are just like beasts in the challenges, and I wonder how much that was playing a role into people's considerations. Right? You still want to win immunities. You still want to be there.
I felt so bad for Kim in this episode. Did you guys feel bad for Kim?
Oh my God! Yeah.
Nobody wanted to talk to Kim. How do you not want to talk to Kim Spradlin?
I don't know. You know, it's good for her to feel what it's like to be on the outs, and then she can, you know, use that pain and bring it around.
She can come back. It was like that the people were having conversations. She's like, I know you guys don't like me, but yeah. Can I just get in here?
I've been there. I mean, you know when people are talking about you. You walk up and, like, suddenly the conversation stops. That's like, yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah.
This is my social life in general. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out, though, before I forget, just to... What a beast Boston Rob was. Like, I could not believe. Like, I feel like that was, like, one of the key, like, takeaways from this episode was I thought, oh, my gosh, Rob, like, he looks so out of shape. Like, he's from,
oh,
like, an
Stephen,
ancient generation.
Come on.
Like, he killed it. He was, like he was as strong, as clutch in the challenges as he's ever been. I mean, the way he worked the strategy on his tribe was unbelievable.
The scene with Boston Rob and Ben
was amazing.
Was so fantastic.
Yeah.
Where Danny Boatwright says she throws Boston Rob's name out there, and Boston Rob is walking on the beach with Ben, and he gives him the hey. You hear my name from anybody? And Ben is like, homina, 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 homina.
Yeah.
Ben, you better tell me. If you don't tell me now, then it's going to be worse for you later. He's like, okay, I have to tell you. It was Danny. I have to.
I was so amazed that Boston Rob's like cool in that moment. He was just completely cool, calm, and collected, and not, you know, at all. The way he just sort of extracted that information from Ben was like...
That was so fantastic.
Yeah.
And then he had the same thing with Danny Boatwright.
Yeah.
Where he said, hey, are you the one saying my name?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, well, I say everybody's name. He's like, all right, well, that was good that you told me. You told me, and now you don't have to go home. If you would have lied to me, then you have to go home.
It's unbelievable, just that level of just like self-possession.
But I wonder, I feel like that Boston Rob has lost a step. I remember back in the day where Boston Rob's tribe wins immunity and Amber's on the other side and he would go over and make a deal with the other tribe. What happened to that move?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's harder than the water.
Yeah, why not? Tony, you take care of Amber. Take care of her. If you can. Okay, I will see what I can do, Rob. I have a lot of balls in the air right now. I'm hiding. I'm not ready to come out from my... when I come out, then you'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it would have gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this season. This is a great favorite season.
It's really incredible. It's really
It was so exciting. But it was exciting, but then it stinks when people get voted out. So,
yeah.
Edge of Extinction.
Yeah.
It's great.
Do you think, like, for some of these guys, because it was kind of crazy that no one was targeting Rob and no one was targeting Parvati.
Oh, I love the scene with Rob and Parvati on the beach, and Rob is like, I don't know, but are we playing Survivor for everybody? Parvati's like, I don't know. But are these guys really dumb or what?
But they must be kind of starstruck, right? Like, part of that must be just that some of these newer contestants are like, oh my God, I'm here with Sandra. I'm here with Rob. I'm here with Parvati.
I think they were scared. Everybody was scared and nervous. And I really felt that in that first tribal council where that how nervous everybody was of like, I don't want it to be me.
Right.
And that's why I really thought it was so impressive if it was Adam and to whatever degree Denise that they were able to flip the target and get it on to Natalie to be able to, and maybe that they had to go from, oh, I'm so scared to, hey, it's going to be me. I got to make a move here.
Right. No, that was incredible. And I mean, you know, it really did seem like it was Adam. So I think, you know, for the first episode, for sure, fishy to Adam for having that, you know, that wherewithal.
All right. Let's bring some guests. You want to get some guests up here?
It's just a way to thin out the bullpen.
Yes. Wait, hold on. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Shane Powers is here.
Hey. What they're doing up here is difficult. This is a craft. These people have all come to see them do this. They invited you to come so that you can still feel publicly relevant and run across a press ball. So if you want to talk or try and fuck, believe me, I did all that. I've done all that. I get it. Walk the fuck outside to the bar so these people can hear. This is the 7th fucking time someone's asked you. Fuck is going on?
Shane Powers is the hero we need.
I want to say one more thing and then I'm going to leave.
Okay.
13 years ago, I was on this show. Rob asked me to do his internet radio thing. This was before podcasts. It was before anything. He had a string with 2 styrofoam cups on either side. I called in. I shit on him for an hour. And it's 12 years later. And what he has built is an absolute example of one, plus one plus one plus one equals this. And in the 12 years that he's been doing this, I see out here and I listen to the conversations, he has created a community of people that have a like-minded interest. And in the meantime, you've helped each other with your families. You've been there when you guys for each other when you were sick. What has happened here is super, super important. I don't come to these things ever. And I came here tonight because we all need to recognize not only what Rob has built for his family and him, but what he has built for all of you guys and us. So, when people are trying to listen to their craft, we, as the asshole survivors, should shut the fuck up. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you, Steve.
I love you, Shane. The greatest guy, Shane Powers. Listen to the Shane Show, people. It'll change your life. All right. All right. Is Kelly Wentworth here? Or did Shane make you leave? Here comes Kelly and Lauren O'Connell. Come on over. How lucky are we? Come on over.
Hi, Rob.
Kelly. Lauren, you pull up. Okay. All right.
Oh wow.
So first off, here, grab a microphone. How are you two doing? Hold on, grab it.
Mine works. Sorry, mine works.
A little potluck.
Why are we the first ones up here?
That you are the.
I would vote for you first.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
Yeah.
Thanks,
well,
Lauren.
You know why?
Thanks,
I'll tell you because you got that you, Kelly, played on a tribe with Jeremy and Natalie.
Yes.
Way back when in Hunapu Blue.
Yes.
Yes. And so Jeremy and Natalie were the victim of a blindside. Do you think that was that the right move to break them up?
Yeah, probably. I think for me, I just think it's unfortunate that a relationship completely outside the game affected Natalie's game.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really do anything wrong. And Steven, you played with Jeremy, so do you think he did anything wrong in that situation?
I mean, probably.
Oh my
God. It sure seemed like it. You know, his
My question that I was wondering about it was, did they just be like, everybody knows that we're tight, and did they just not try to hide it? Or would everybody knows how close they are. Would that have changed anything?
What do you mean?
Like, were they attached at the hip out there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say because we only get to see so little.
We only saw so much.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it in the episode, but maybe they were.
Now, this is the second time that Natalie's identical genetic code has been voted out first.
I know. That's so wild.
Does Natalie's genome compete compete with Francesca's for the most voted out first?
No, I don't know.
So something to think about, you know?
But I almost feel like for Natalie to get voted out, her identical twin has already been through this experience.
Right.
And I feel like if anybody can handle it, it's Nadia.
Yeah.
Or it's Natalie.
Right.
Because Nadia can handle it.
No, I'm care. What do you think? It really seemed to me from the episode that Natalie just really approached the edge of extinction with the best possible attitude. She really seemed like she was going to go out there and thrive and use the advantages.
Well, let's talk about the edge of extinction. As people that have been through it, Lauren, do you like to see the edge of extinction come back?
Yeah, Lauren, tell us.
Because I think
Okay, there we go. I just want to preface this with, I think that's an incredibly unfair question to ask me personally, because there is no possible way for me to give you an answer that is unbiased.
Okay.
Because in no way did my game... I can't. Okay.
Yeah.
We have some loose wires here. In no way did my game benefit from Edge of Extinction.
Yes.
So it's hard for me to give you an answer that says, yeah, I love Edge of Extinction. I think it's great. because I don't think it's great because Chris came back and voted me out. You know? Like,
so yeah.
But I understand the good aspects of it and I can look at it somewhat objectively. But I think it's an unfair question to ask me. So maybe you should ask Kelly.
Okay, Kelly, as somebody who lived there.
You're too good.
Because this is something that really has come up a lot in terms of, like, well, do the players want it? And Jeff has talked about how there were a lot of players that said, hey, we won't come back for this season unless there was a second chance. Even if the players in a vacuum don't like the idea, but players may have said, hey, if I'm going to come back, do I have another chance to get back into the game?
Okay, here is my issue with Edge of Extinction. I don't think that advantages or idols should be going into the game from Edge of Extinction. That's my big issue with it. I don't necessarily care if someone has a second chance. I don't love it, but that's fine. But I don't think that people who are in the game and still playing should be affected because of somebody who's been voted out.
But what do you think of this new twist where they can, like, barter or they can, like, sell advantages from Edge of Extinction if the people...
No!
Yeah.
So, well, no!
Can I tell you, though? I actually I'm okay with Fire Token so far because I think that what it does change up, and I know that neither of you have a problem finding an idol. Both of you guys have been able to do that.
It's the playing the idol that we have issues with, apparently.
But I think that the way the fire tokens were, based on what we saw, if the advantages and idols aren't hidden on the beach, if they're all on the edge of extinction, now it sort of changes what the important trait you need to have to find the idol, where that so the same person isn't potentially finding idol after idol to get to the end of the game. Now it really would come down to who has social relationships with the players who were voted out, and I think that's how you end up seeing Sandra having the idol here at the second episode, right? Because it's a different skill set of being out there and finding the idol.
That's a fair point, but is that what's going to happen this season?
I don't know. We don't know.
Okay, so...
But I think there's a chance that maybe it makes the finding of the whoever has the idols and advantages a little more random and a little more fair. And that's why I think that maybe they might have something with the fire tokens.
No more Edge of Extinction!
Yes, okay. Sandra. There you go.
Say it again! Say it again!
Yeah. All right, well... I did talk to Jeff this week, and he said that we would not be having the Edge of Extinction for a while.
Yeah, and that's an amazing interview. If you haven't watched it, go to robasapodcast.com or robasawebsite.com, and it's an incredible interview. Like, this guy is such a master of doing interviews. Just the way he, you know, because he's talking to Jeff, and he still, like, asks the hard question. I thought it was just beautiful.
Yeah. Kelly, why'd you guys vote out Steven? Isn't he so much fun?
Yeah, what the hell? What the hell?
He's so nice.
Well, I think that Steven and I just didn't build a relationship soon enough in Second Chance. Yeah. Because Steven, I like you. I wanted to work with you, but it just, you know, too little too late. Yeah. And you're so close to Jeremy. What was I supposed to do?
I don't know. I mean, vote him out. Vote Jeremy out.
I tried.
Yeah. Well, was it a mistake to vote out Natalie and not Jeremy? Right. Why did Natalie end up being the person who it was like, hey, let's break up Jeremy and Natalie? Was it because that Jeremy has those ties
with... It might be the poker thing, right? Like, maybe Rob didn't want to vote out Jeremy.
As two people who played with Jeremy, do you feel like that can Jeremy look past Natalie getting, like, okay, you guys all blindsided me. Is Jeremy going to potentially say, okay, I got to look the other way? Or does he end up sort of like Natalie in San Juan del Sur after Jeremy gets voted out, like, okay, you guys got me, but now is working to get rid of the people who voted out Natalie?
It's probably like a mix, right? I think he's a very pragmatic player, but he's also a very loyal player. Yeah. He said, you know, you had him say that, like, I'm going to get him for you, Natalie. Yeah. He said something like that.
To be fair, once you got voted out, like, he didn't really go on a Kill Bill type vengeance streak. I have to avenge Steven.
But he's got that blood debt with Natalie, you know? Like, Natalie did that for him, and now he's got to pay it back.
Yeah.
I think it's too early in the season to try and think about Natalie at this point and you know, getting revenge for her. So he has to keep going and work on his own game.
How do you think Natalie is going to hold up on the edge?
She'll be fine. She's tough.
How do you like Natalie as the ream of season 40?
I'm going to be another.
No one can live up to Reem. No. Okay.
Yeah.
The one complaint I have about the way that the barter system works, they should have let Natalie choose the price. Like, why does it have to be one fire token? You know, it said like you have to sell this back for one token. Like, it would have been interesting if it could have been three tokens, and then someone has to, like, you know, get a pool of money.
Well, I think that you have items that are, like, fixed price. It's sort of like when you go to, like, the hotel mini bar, and it tells you, like how much for the can of jelly beans, how much for the Diet Coke in the thing. There's a jar of peanut butter that you could trade for a fire token.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know, that you can't name your own price for that. Do you guys, Kelly, is that make you mad that there's food items offered on the Edge of Extinction?
Wait, I just want to say, though, one token for an idol seems pretty nice.
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
Right, Sandra? Like, that's a pretty good deal. I trade one fire token.
Sandra
for
knows about coupons. She knows good deals.
Sorry, okay. Rob. I don't remember your other question.
That's okay. We have a ton of people we want to get to. But
yes, bring them up here.
Kelly and Lauren, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
All right, who's coming? I can't even see who's over there. All right, come on down.
All right.
It's Kobe Archa and Lauren Beck. They just got done. They were doing the red carpet for RHAP, talking to God knows how many reality TV people.
Which is why this...
Hello?
Hold on. I think we have one working microphone over there.
So loud.
Sorry.
Which one?
You can use mine.
Try them all.
I think I got one.
We can share.
Okay.
Yeah, this will be quick because we were busy doing the red carpet, so we don't know much about that episode.
Okay. All right. Sure.
We know some.
You know some. Okay. Lauren, what was your thoughts on the premiere?
From what I saw, it was mind-blowing. I don't know. It's crazy to see and awesome to see, because I think when you idolize and look up to these people for so many years and then you get to see them play against each other, it's kind of like a mind fuck, because, like, you don't know who to root for. You know, can I say that?
Yes.
Well, you did.
Lauren, were you torn between rooting for your Island of the Idols mentors with both Rob and Sandra competing on this season?
I think you guys all know how I feel about the queen. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is hard. But, I mean, listen, when Sandra says she's going to do something, she's going to do it. And I learned from her. And, no, I mean, it's not hard because I know who I'm rooting for. So.
Yeah.
And, Kobe, you've watched the show for all these years. What's it like for you seeing all these winners come back?
Well, for me, I am so opinionated, it's not that hard.
Yes.
There's people I like and people I don't like. I don't like Tyson. I know the whole room's going to be like, because y'all
like
love Tyson.
Why don't you do that? Is it a personal thing? Or you don't think he's funny?
I'm not one to get my feelings knowing some of these people in the way of being a fan.
Yes.
As a fan, I'm just opinionated.
Okay.
But I can tell you, when we were interviewing everybody out there, everybody was saying they were having a tough time because they like everybody.
Yes.
When we were asking them who to root for, I think that's what's going to be so cool about this season. It's going to hurt every time somebody gets voted off, because you do like them all.
Yeah, well, who are your favorites? We know Sandra.
The girls.
Yes.
Sandra, the queen stays the queen.
Adam.
Kim.
Jeremy.
Denise.
Wendell. How do you say,
Danny.
You know? They're all winners. They all deserve to win.
I'm all girls this season, which is why, yes, this is the strongest female group I think ever, which is what depressed me about the episode, because it seems like they're being targeted.
Yeah. Well, we went from it seemed like that in your season, in the beginning, that the women were saying, like, okay, we're going to work together and make sure women don't go home. But here we have the first two people voted out of this season, two women.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like that part.
And yeah, I mean, it's hard. And it's like Natalie being a minority woman, being the first out. Like, I just want to see something different, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to see something different.
Something different. Okay.
And I would also like to point out that all the fans thought the queen would be the first to go, and she was not.
She was not. Okay. All right. Anything else you guys want to add?
We love you, and thank you.
Yeah, we love you.
Thank you so much. We can't wait to see the interviews. Okay. Let's... Yeah. Don't put them too close. Don't cross the streams. Okay. Let's do something different. Let's do something a little bit different that we've never tried to do before. Oh, Abby is ready? Oh, okay. Abby is right here. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Abby Maria, who stole the show in Brea. Here's the guy. Give it up for Abby Maria. Abby, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh, get Abby a microphone. Try. How's it? Check.
We have this one, 500 microphones.
We have 500 microphones, but only a couple work. Okay. All right. Abby Maria, how are you?
I'm doing great. How's everybody doing? How was Survivor 40th premiere day for you guys?
Great.
Come on, you gotta give me more than that.
Abby, we saw the winner of Survivor Philippines, Denise, be on the
shopping
block tonight.
Oh, my God.
Were you hoping that Denise would get voted out, or were you happy that she was able to stay?
I was really happy she stayed. Denise is fierce. She deserves to fight for another day.
Yeah.
Do you think Adam... Now, Adam pitched to Denise, I want to be your new Malcolm. Can Adam be Denise's new Malcolm?
That's kind of funny. Let's be honest, everybody. Adam will never be Malcolm. Ever.
Now, there was something that
oh,
was...
Oh, my God! Hey!
It's Terry Dietz, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Terry Dietz. Here, grab a microphone. See what you can...
Check.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Let's go.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, we're this is awesome. Hey,
thank you.
Give a round of applause for Terry Dietz is here. Terry, this is so exciting to have you here with us for one of these live shows.
You know, it's nice to be here, and it's nice to have y'all here and stuff. I know you guys listen to Rob so much, and you listen to the stuff that we put out a little bit. And I'm glad you're all here. It is a Survivor family.
Yeah, and we have a Takeo reunion.
Absolutely. This man, oh my gosh, I love Terry so much. We had such a beautiful moment at Takeo. I will never forget. He had my back when I was bullied. And you know it.
It was. It was a nice night. And, you know, one of the things that we all do when we go out on this show, and you've seen enough of the shows, is there's a risk to all this. There's people in the room here that have been taken off the show for medical injuries and other things. But we risk all the things we have back at home as well. And you don't know what's going to affect you on the show, what you might have to live with the rest of your life. And
yeah.
We had a really nice moment there. And... I had a moment on my last show as well, and it was funny. I was talking to Rob. He was doing a podcast right before I went on a show, and I was watching my son's lacrosse game, and we kind of know how all that turned out. But one thing I want to mention, these guys bring awareness, and you guys out there also bring a lot of awareness to a lot of the charity work that we do. Between these guys and Ethan and a few other people, Rupert, we as a group over the past 20 years and with you guys involved have helped raise over $20 million for charities
Wow.
around the whole United States. And I wanted to bring that to light and thank you guys for being a part of all that. And it's been wonderful for us to do the same.
That's
what it's all about afterwards, right? Giving back and using the platform to do good. Even though I'm a villain, I still love that.
Not a villain,
it's
an angel. Angel.
I do have my villain horns tonight. So in Survivor world, I'm a villain.
Well, one thing I thought was interesting tonight, and it's interesting that you bring up that element of family, Terry, is I felt tonight we saw more people connecting over their kids and their families than they almost ever show on the show. And I think that's like, it's a part of the show that we all experience, but like to see it up there, it really seemed to be extraordinary.
All right, if you guys want to see your loved ones, I really have no clue about who comes out or who lasts that long. But the loved ones visit this time is going to be ridiculous because a lot of these folks now have kids. You know, I had kids when I went on, and obviously when my wife came on, it was a game changer. I was crying like a baby. And a lot of us all do the show when we're kind of young. Some of us do have kids. Now these guys are going to be coming back. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing to see.
Yeah.
Talking about kids, all of this woman... not working.
Here, try.
Talking about kids, all of these moms on the show right now, Poverty, oh my God, she looks so good. And she just had a baby. Kim, abs for days. What's up with that?
I don't know. I don't
know. Right?
I don't
Hot Moms on Survivor.
I wanted to ask the three of you, like, when you guys went back on Second Chances, and then when you're out there on the beach and it's early going in the season, like, how real is that paranoia that everybody is talking about?
Well, you know...
And I know you guys had a much crazy... You had a crazy, like, first tribal council that you guys had to deal with where so much was up in the air.
Terry, have had that sort of experience that a lot of these guys are feeling of, like, you know, I played quite some time ago. Like, this game has accelerated so much since I played.
Tell you what, I talked to Parvati tonight, and I had an interview. We interview with the producers and Jeff before we go on the show, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to hit the beach. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And literally at the first tribal council, Jeff's shaking his head going, you didn't do any of that. You suck. You know, but the game is really morphing a whole lot. And I talked to Parvati tonight. She goes, Terry, the minute we hit the beach, the game was on. Like, you didn't have 5 minutes to yourself. It's like Tyson's like, everybody ditched me for like probably a minute, maybe two.
Yeah.
But that's how far behind you feel. And on our show, it happened that quickly right away.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. Are we having another mic? Okay.
Well, yes. It did seem like a lot of what was going on was not just people actually getting ditched, like you're saying. It's like you're gone for a minute. But it's like people's anxiety about being left out of that like first conversation.
It was super anxious to not know that you were involved in the loop. And in this game right here, it's not going to last long. If you're not involved in every loop that's going on, you're already gone. Yeah. These guys are super pros. They're
super players. So fast. Like, it's a millisecond. I don't even say a second. It's a millisecond. You've got to be so on it.
And in saying that, though, even the challenges. I mean, you were seeing people getting thrown over the line.
Like, that was unbelievable.
How did you like Kerhofer's challenges tonight?
Yeah.
John, do a good job?
It's wild. It was incredible. The first challenge was nuts, where that they had to go and bring back the life preservers and just the people that were involved in the challenge, like now in these wrestling matches.
Oh my God.
You couldn't believe it.
Natalie looked like she had like a motorboat attached to her legs. She like moved so fast through the water.
Yeah. No, that was all wild. Abby, also, this was a historic night for Denise. She actually did not go to a tribal council.
It definitely was, yes.
I mean, for the first time, she went to every single one in Philippines, and then for the first time ever, she didn't go to one.
It must feel so good for the sex therapist not to go to tribal.
Whoa. Okay.
I want to say something about tribal council. There's maybe it's changed since I played the game, but people are like, oh my God, I want to go to tribal council.
Hell no.
Bullshit. You do not want to go to tribal council. That's one less step you are toward them. If you don't go to tribal council, somebody else is beating somebody up and you're that much closer to the $1 million or $2 million.
But way, I will quote Russell Hantz, going to tribal is actually really interesting because you learn a lot of what's going on.
Did he say that?
Yes, Russell Hantz said that.
Going to tribal is very interesting.
Yeah, okay, no. So he said that it's a good thing to go to tribal because you learn a lot
about
the dynamics of the tribes.
I get that. I don't want any smoke, Abby Maria.
Hell yeah, I've studied you before.
Yes.
I have a question for you, Rob. So, and you folks out there, what do you think, you know, since I played the first time, there are people that actually stand up and use tribal council as a soapbox and as a tactical and strategic moves. It's morphed over the years to people really take advantage of that. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that there's just so much like smokescreen that's also going on at the tribal council, where that people are also like having to bake in what they say at the tribal council of also what's the plan, and then they have to go through all of these different like roles that they're playing at tribal council based on, oh, I need these people to think that I'm going to be the person who's doing this. So I find it very hard to be able to really take at face value anything that gets said at the tribal council.
And Steven, would you stand up? Like, sometimes you're like, oh my God, I'm not saying anything here. But yeah. Would you stand up at certain times in a strategic level and make that play?
I just wanted to, like, you know, please Jeff. You know, didn't you ever feel that? Like, he's asking the question, you're like, oh, I hope I give him the good answer. Because if you don't, then he just, like angrily turns to the next person and asks them the same question.
All right, well, if I had a superpower on Survivor World, it would be invisible.
Be invisible.
Invisible, yeah. Yeah, like just not.
Like a spy shack or?
Like a spy shack, yes.
Yeah, how great was Tony speaking of spy shacks? Like, what he really dialed it back tonight. I mean, no?
I was very impressed with Tony in this episode because Tony was
absolutely
such a mess in Game Changers. And he came back and he seems humbled. And I don't think Tony could have had a better night.
Yeah, what an incredible night. I mean, at some point we need to talk about that second episode because, like, he, you know, that vote completely flipped around.
Yeah. No, that was wild. Do you guys have anything else you want to say? We have, so many people that we want to still get to tonight.
Happy anniversary,
Rob. Oh, thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank all of you out there. Well, thank you so much.
What a thrill always to see Abby Maria and Terry. What a surprise to have you here with us tonight.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry. Okay. Oh, thank you, Abby Maria. Okay. All right. Who's over there? Okay. All right. Here is Hannah Shapiro and Tyler Frederick.
The classic pairing.
Yes.
Hannah and Tyler.
Okay. All right. Come on.
Yeah. So I want to know, we're all big Yul Kwan fans here. How great was it to see Yul back on our screens?
I love seeing Yul. Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's like watching these people when I was like a kid and growing up, and now seeing them again. And the fact that Yul's doing what he's doing for Jonathan Penner, I think, is like one of the most admirable things about looking to donate his $2 million to ALS research. Really excited about that. My biggest frustration with this is that tonight I finally realized for the first time that Mike Holloway is not going to win this season. And so that was a bit of a bummer.
You don't know what twist there might be.
A bummer.
Yeah, oh, he could be like on the Cochrane boat. Like,
yes,
like,
yes. Yeah, okay. Yes. Okay, I got it. Yeah. Are the Cochrans in the Cochrane boat?
It was really sweet when Sophie and Yul decided to work together.
But Yul, I just felt like Yul... Oh, go ahead. No,
I just love how she was like, aren't you going to exclamate this point? It was just so cute. It really is fan fiction. It's like we're watching people we love talk to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I thought Sophie really had a great night also. I was also...
Yes, agreed.
I was worried about Sophie coming into the season because I felt like that she could be seen as somebody that, oh, she's too smart. We have to get rid of Sophie. And I thought that the Sophie and Yul power couple, I thought that was really cool.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
When she stopped in her tracks, when Yul was like, hey, I think this would be good. She had her whole like Halle Berry moment. Like, you like me. You really like me. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
That's a little Hannah Shapiro, isn't it?
Sally Field.
I'm like, oh, I'm fitting in.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Hannah, what did you think about Adam tonight?
Okay, we can give Adam some credit. He got in trouble and he turned it around and said, yeah. He said, you know, we have a closer couple here. He refocused it. Also, he's fanning out with the bigger targets. Yeah. And he has been there saying, I want to keep Adam around because he's smart. He's got the new people and the all-star, sort of bigger all-stars. I think Adam Klein did great.
Yeah.
When Ben says, I have an instinct that I want to keep Adam, does that mean I have a pregame alliance that I want to keep Adam?
Yes. Can I say that this is something
they may
like
have
about.
Gone to Reno.
I actually like that we're acknowledging this season more than ever before how many prior relationships there are. There have been all-star seasons where everyone acts like they're just meeting each other, and for the first time in a while, we're being shown videos of this person knows each other here and here.
Do you think it's, is it possible that you think that we had the video from the poker game? Is somebody going to say, yeah, well, there was one time that this person said this on a podcast?
Yeah. Well, they like, were all in know-it-alls.
YouTube video, live know-it-alls. Yeah. Maybe.
Definitely.
No, they haven't reached out for the rights.
Yeah. Reno's kind of like the new Survivor's version of Stagecoach for Bachelor. It's like...
or Big Brother.
Everybody's going there, but...
Yeah.
I will say my one kind of, not cringy moment, because I love the kid to death, was when Adam was walking, and he was like, you know, I can be your Malcolm, Denise. And I'm like... Adam, you don't compare yourself to Malcolm.
Yeah.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, it's big shoes to fill to be to be anybody's Malcolm.
For us to be talking about winners up here, that's pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
But nobody knows winners better than me.
But Hannah, I wanted to ask you about with Adam. Do you feel like does Adam play better maybe if he's on the ropes a little bit? Like if he has his back against the wall, does that when he comes up with his best stuff?
I think he's always playing at 300%, so maybe when his back is up against the wall, it's more justified.
The will wall.
Yeah. Because can't that backfire, Stephen, where that you know things are if things are going bad, the more you try to like get out of it, the worse it could be?
But actually, I might say no, based on my experience with Adam Klein.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he also can, you know, I think the nervous energy is better when you have someone to calm you and maybe you're not completely up against the wall.
Yeah.
It did seem, though, I mean, like this time.
He did great tonight, though.
Yeah, okay. He flipped it.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to have that because we have Tyler Fredrickson here, we have a special treat for him. Here is the rest of the cast of Millennials versus Gen X.
Entire cast.
Now, Tony, you were really good on season 10.
Hey, we love you.
Kevin, you did great, bud.
Trevor, I'm a huge fan.
Thanks for being a fan.
All right, we have Brett, Chris, David Wright, and Jay are here.
Rob, can I add one more thing, Rob? Can I add one more thing before we go?
Yes.
You want to know my biggest problem so far of this season? Not that anybody asked.
No one cares.
This whole bequeath.
Yeah, we heard the bequeath word a lot.
What's, like, what about will? Like, you can will it to somebody. You can gift it. You can donate. Like, to bequeath or not to bequeath.
What did you just say?
Get him off the fuck.
Yeah. The what?
Give him the hug.
Oh, boy.
Later, Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Tucker.
Have a seat.
My seat?
Come on. Yeah, come on. Get on my lap, Chris. You know you love it.
I'm not talking.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right.
I'll handle it.
I don't think this one's working.
A little bit. It's like musical chairs that there's a bunch of microphones, but only some of them work.
So has it been a real treat for you guys to see Yul Kwan play again? Like, we're all Yul Kwan fans. How do you guys feel about it? I mean, how cool was it when he, like, pulled together all of those outcasts and was like, he just had so much, he's so centered, you know? He had such great energy.
Chris?
I didn't even hear the question.
Yeah.
I don't have a mic. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
No, I actually...
Thank you.
No, I love Yul Kwan. I did not see the episode tonight. So this is like I don't know. I'm
it was great. I'll just tell you how it was.
who brought the cool kid? Rob and I watched it. Okay, and it is very cool to watch our friend Adam Klein wearing the same underwear that he wore when I was out there.
Adam, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
I thought for sure he was a
underwear
goner.
Or in the game.
I thought for sure he was a goner.
Yeah,
and,
I did too.
I thought for sure because he overplayed it. And Hannah, you were on, and Jay, you were on with him. No, I understand, but you guys were with him in the first few days, and I think he overplayed a little bit then, right?
Why didn't they vote my boy out?
I agree, 100%. So
yeah. Do you think that he can now stabilize this? Because I really feel like that was his move. Is he on the upswing now, or do you think that this will come back around to him?
I well, think Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Cut to David. You've seen the episode.
No, I haven't seen the episode, but I can say this. Adam is very good at staying under the radar and keeping a low profile and presenting himself and projecting himself as not a threat. And obviously that didn't happen tonight based on what you guys are saying. But I do think, like, you know, case in point, when I, at the finals casting at the hotel, I remember I was like, you know, writing nicknames for all the potential contestants. And for him, my nickname for him was Pez, because he was like so like tiny. And the ridiculous part is I found out later that I think I'm the same height as he is. But I think he's really great at like flying under the radar. And I think he just... What's that? I feel really good about his chances, especially considering that there are so many like gigantic Survivor icon, huge targets. So anyway, I'm babbling now. I apologize.
All I want to say is, Adam, you did so good at being so bad, buddy. Everyone's been talking about you for days now. Good job, bro. You messed up.
I got lost,
idiot.
Yeah.
What you got
to
say?
These are Adam's friends, everybody. Yeah.
Oh, no. For the record, I love Adam. I don't take anything from
I think
Pez.
Ben Dreebergen's watching out for him, and I think that was a smart move
so
on his part.
So what his friends have to say is he's a Pez-headed idiot? Is that the conclusion?
No, I would never.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I thought that Ben seems like he's in a really good spot.
I do too. Yeah, except he shouldn't give that information to Rob.
But
I think he did it on purpose. Yeah.
It was interesting at the tribal council because we saw two sides of Ben. We saw Ben where he to use a poker metaphor. Rob challenged him. He folded immediately. Here, take my lunch money, Boston Rob. But then at the tribal council, Jeremy says to him, hey, you think that Rob and Parvati have something going on? And Ben, who's in on the plan, is like, it's starting to look like it. So he sold that very well to Jeremy.
But what a great moment that was for Jeremy, too, though, to like recognize at tribal council that something was wrong with his plan.
Yeah.
He's the best.
And he has two fire tokens now, Jeremy does.
Yes, but Jeremy inadvertently probably would have had an idol if he wasn't so good in the challenge.
Oh. What is a fire token, Rob? Like, what is this nonsense? Right?
Yeah.
Where did this come from, this magical fire token?
How many fire tokens for a Fijian pizza?
Zero, because Fijian pizza is the worst pizza you've ever had in your entire life.
It's so bad.
Am I right? Everyone's like, oh, Brett, you're wrong. Like, someone was like, it's so good. I'm like, then you've never had pizza, and you need to come to Boston, New York, and try some real pizza, because Fijian pizza is cardboard.
That's it.
Yeah. Sorry. Go on.
Okay. One more question. David Wright, Edge of Extinction is back.
It is back.
Yes.
That much I know.
Yes. Do you feel like that as somebody who was there, like, should we give Edge of Extinction more of a chance?
I think we should. And by the way, especially in a season, I know. Okay, I heard some
David
booze.
Wright.
I heard some booze.
Guys, please don't.
No, but let me
David
say
Wright.
Why. Let me say why. In a season of all winners, right? We know these people. They've made it to the end of each of their seasons. So we don't want to say goodbye to them. So the Edge of Extinction gives us a chance to, you know, maybe they'll get back in the game. We can spend more time with them, story mining. I think it's great. Come on. Yeah. Let's hear it for Edge of Extinction.
Yes, Chris Hammonds.
I love Edge of Extinction because if I ever get back on, I know I'm getting voted off, so I'd like to go out there and stay a little longer.
Come back.
But they should show more of it, especially with all these great winners out there. They should show them out there more. And
CBS All Access.
I think we'd actually like it more.
They did. Natalie had like a beautiful solo adventure up the hill.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go on the record, Rob, and say I hate Edge of Extinction.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Pandering to the crowd.
It's definitely pandering.
Okay, all right.
This is the season for
it's
it,
like
though,
you're
right?
Begging not to be asked back.
No. No more Edge of Extinction. No. It's done.
Thank you.
Once you lose, you lose. Go home, loser.
Yeah, lose.
Bye.
Like Willy Wonka.
I lost. I fucking suck. Bye.
But you went out great. Like, that was one of my favorite...
Like a beast.
All right, the cast of Millennials versus Gen X, everybody.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank God we're not Dirty 30.
Yeah, we have a pairing that is going to blow your mind right now, okay? Here is a big surprise.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Here is...
Wow. Oh, my God.
Here
oh,
is...
Oh, shit. Oh, sorry.
Christian Hubicki. Ozzy. And Katie Gallagher. Oh, my God. Christian, I didn't even know you were here.
I didn't either. I'm genuinely shocked. I've never met Christian before.
Now, Christian, your next project is figure out which microphones work on this stage.
That's a fantastic...
Oh, the wireless one is good, Ozzy. The wireless one is good.
I hope this works.
Check.
Checking.
Okay.
Check.
Here. And Nate is here.
Yeah, Nate.
Nate Gonzalez.
Check.
All right.
Okay, I don't believe this microphone works, does it?
All right. First off, Christian... How did you get here?
I'm still not sure myself, to be clear. I actually was in town for work for an engineering conference, and I didn't think I'd be able to make it. I was an hour away, but it ended early, and I'm like, you know what? You know what's close by? I think Rob, my friend Rob is close by, so I'll come by. So
thank you. I had no idea Christian Hubicki would be here. Ozzy, so excited to have you here with us tonight.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Ozzy, how many of these people on this season have you played with?
I was counting with somebody, maybe like 6 or 7, 10 of you guys today. Is it seven?
With Sandra.
I think it's seven.
Seven.
I've lost to 7 people on this. I don't know who else can say that, but I can. I've lost to 7
that is
people
amazing.
On this season.
This is amazing.
That's awesome.
Katie, how are you?
I'm great.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you had one of the working microphones.
This one works.
Yes. Okay, and Nate, how are you?
I'm happy to be here. I'm having a good time. Good time.
Yes. Nate, were you excited to see Yule back?
I am. I mean, I was Yule's, first real victim, you know what I mean? Like, he proved his skill and strength to the world against me. So
yes,
you always love the man that killed you. You know what I mean? Like you kind of look at him like, oh, he's kind of a god. And Ozzy and I were driving out here tonight, and we were talking about the game and how it's progressed. But Yule is a chess player, and when you're playing with so many people who know the game and all have an approach, if Yule can kind of fall back and really play that dark horse game, he could be something lethal.
Like, do you think that Yule has a chance to cut these guys up like poop?
You know, it's funny. I still cut my poop, and yes, he'd find Dyson's poop, dog. He'd find Dyson.
People love that line. People love that line.
I can't live off the cut my poop. People say, like, do you really cut your poop? Like, no, but
yeah,
your brain goes there in the game, and anyone who's played knows what I mean. You know what I mean.
Look, I just that we have such a great panel. Please tell us your takes from the episode.
Well, I have to, full disclosure, I was on the road getting here when the episode was airing, so I know it's on the season. I know.
Yes.
I believe they're all winners. Is that my understanding?
All winners.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yes, Nick Wilson is back.
Nick Wilson is back, and he's still around. He survived the vote.
He made it through 2 episodes.
He made it through 2 episodes. That's unsurprising. Yes. So that's good. That's fantastic for him. So, that's about all I can say in terms of informed discussion, but I wouldn't want to do a podcast not knowing what I'm talking about. I'm sure that's never happened in the history of podcasting. So
I'm here, so...
Yeah. Who impressed you tonight, Ozzy?
I mean, God, I hate to say it, but I do want to say it. Yule, he did.
Yeah,
he's just. I'm gonna piggyback off of what Nate was saying, and Yule does have what it takes as long as he can soften up his robotic nature. I'm not looking at you for any
works
real
very
reason.
With robots.
For the record, he turned and looked at me during the
segment. It happens. I have that tick. It just. But if he, if he becomes a little more personable and lightens up and gets to have fun, because I feel like he never has fun. So if he can do that, what the fuck? You're not there to play Survivor to have fun. You're there to win. So I think Yule's got, he's got a good lane if he can get Sophie on his side. He's got a good brain trust. Think like
4, 5, 6 moves in the future and, you know, just cut them up like poop, then it's all good.
Yeah, Katie, you were raising your hand?
No, I was just...
She was there to have fun.
Oh. Steven.
No, oh, yeah, hi.
Say hi to Steven.
Hello. Hi,
Steven. I love Steven so much.
So much.
Steven's the best.
Thank you.
He's the best.
He's the best. Do you read what he writes? Because he's a genius.
Genius.
Oh, well, that's overstating it, but yeah.
Wait, what is the... You guys are probably going to hate me for asking, but what does the bell mean?
Oh, I mean somebody either made a great point or want to like really like punctuate something. Somebody says like a great joke, you want to hit the bell?
I have to say, you guys are all fans, of course, so I'm sure that some of you send me very nasty things that there's bells involved. I've always wondered why there's
wait,
a bell.
Wait, people send you mean things about bells?
Like in the mail?
Just like,
I'm sorry, where did this like go?
Back when I was the first Survivor, there was this thing called Survivor Sucks.
Yes. Okay?
Yes.
All right.
They're so mean. Yeah.
So since then, there's been a tradition of, you know, haters. That's like, it's
well, that's
a great
not
thing.
These people.
It's
these,
a great thing. I'm
that's
just
not
saying,
these people.
It's a great thing about this community is that we can appreciate, we can sit here, we can talk, we can hate, we can also love in that hate somehow. So the bell has been like a meme that I've seen for a long time, and I've always wondered. It's kind of surreal to be here talking to Rob, who is, honestly, I gotta say, like, you have been able to make something really great out of the post-Survivor life.
Yeah. And
I appreciate it.
Everybody hit the bell!
There's hope for all of us.
Katie, that
hit the bell. Hit the bell.
Katie, hit that thing again.
I'm gonna hit the bell again. Yeah.
Katie, do you have any favorites on this season?
Yes, but I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
No, I do actually.
Okay.
Sorry. I have a lot of friends on this season.
Yes. Who are your friends?
What if they don't say they're my friends?
Well, we won't ask them if they're your friend.
Anyone over 40 is
yes,
my
is your friend.
Friend.
Yes.
Sandra, I see you, girl.
Yes.
No, but I really do have a lot of old school people playing, so it's difficult for me to say.
Yes.
I love you, I want you to win, because I want anyone that's playing to win.
Yes. Christian, let me go back to you about Nick. What should the game plan for Nick be? Like, what kind of people should Nick surround himself with?
I think one thing that Nick does extremely well is when he gets underestimated by people, he runs with it. Like, he made a big deal of his aw shucksy nature on our season, which was very effective. And I didn't see the episode to know who he aligned with, but people who are big and exorbitant and want to make big threats,
yeah.
Those would be, like, really good allies for Nick. One of the few things I did hear from about the episode was that apparently, so Sophie and Yule are kind of pairing up again,
yes.
Right? And Sophie called Yule her nerd shield.
Nerd shield.
So I got a text from Gabby. She said that that's what I called you on the island.
Oh.
She called me.
Gabby invented that.
Her nerd shield. So perhaps in some way that sort of has proliferated on the island.
She left that in PG and Sophie picked it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Parvati is back on this season. Both Nate and Ozzy played with Parvati. How did you guys think that she did on night one?
I mean, honestly, Parvati's family, so I have to root for her. I hope... You know, I hope Parvati goes the distance. The thing with Parvati is she's played a few rounds, so I'm curious to see what, you know, she can pull with so many people who've seen her play and know the game. You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
She's in a hard point because she's one of the queens of the game.
Yeah.
She kind of showed a lot of women how to use, you know, their power. So I don't know if I can play against her. I'm obviously rooting, but we'll see.
Dude, I'm not really next in line, though. I think you're next.
Well, but Katie didn't play with Parvati.
No, I didn't. So I'd like to hear what Ozzy has to say.
I think Nate's right. I think that Parvati has, you know, she's been one of the, like, sweethearts of the game. Every time she plays, I played against her. She's tough. She's got a physicality. She's mentally super quick and has the wit and the charm, and she's got everything. So that's like that's the biggest target ever. Like Rob and Amber and Parvati and some of these other like
bigger sort of stars in their field, they're going to have a hard time because, you know, they're not, you're dealing with 20 players that are cutthroat, and they're going to look at it and they're going to, you know, she has too many conversations that people don't like at the wrong time. It's like, it's going to be hard to overcome.
Or you fuck up someone in the past, they have a revenge forever. You know,
that's true. Yeah.
We all have sleepless nights from when we've all got gotten. Like, if I went out there and I played against Yule, I'd be looking at him every day like, I'm going to get you, dog. I don't know how. I'm going to get you. So we all have that. That's
exactly.
Just personality of...
Well, that's what
getting,
was...
You know, no. That's just the personality of losing.
Let's be real.
Be real.
Let's be real. Poverty is sexy. That's what she does. If anybody doesn't think that they're going to bang poverty, I'm not sure they're going to make an alliance with her.
I have a slightly more academic point to make.
Yes, Christian. Yes, Christian.
What is Christian think?
So I'm thinking about, you make a good point, Nate, about, you know, once you've gotten by these people, there's a vendetta there, right? So who on in this game has been gotten by Parvati? Most of the people who played with Parvati were beaten.
Right here.
So, you're there. Yeah. So, but out in Fiji.
Boston Rob.
Boston Rob did and Tyson did, right? And Heroes versus Villains. I mean, she, at least he was the victim of that crazy banana etiquette episode.
Yes.
So I'm trying to think of, like, so who's actually out there to get Parvati on that front. The thing I thought was interesting the preseason was people like Tyson saying that Parvati's been around so long, she actually knows how the game works from a production standpoint. That can be extraordinarily threatening. I thought that was very interesting what Tyson said.
Yeah, I was actually shocked in terms of like people's like being able to put aside those vendettas. You know, that alliance that we saw between Sarah, Tony, and Sandra. Like, I just was like, I was amazed by that. I thought that was so cool that the three of them were working together. I was just like, these three people.
It's those like concentric circles within circles within circles, and I think that Yule was the, like, on this season was the first one to sort of talk about the poker alliance. Yeah. And, you know, we've all been in this circuit for a long time, 15 or more, not looking at you, more years.
Yeah. I'm
so you start
44
to,
years you start to old, pick, everybody. No, I can but, stretch and kick.
You know, there's a factor, like, some of us go to these events all the time and some of us don't. Some of us know the relationship and some of us don't. So people that ever hope to win or come back and play, like, sometimes you got to pay attention. You got to, like, know, like, all right, what's really going on?
Ozzy, do you feel like that this game is going faster than even Game Changers was going?
Oh, I mean, 100%. It's like, I would have been out so fast. I'm like, wait, Jeff, let's go. Where are we starting? It's like, sorry, buddy. You're like, you're out of here.
I think, Ozzy, you would be great in this season.
Well, I don't agree.
Unfortunately, you're not a winner, but, like, come on. Give it up for Ozzy. No.
Just one vote.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you guys want to add?
Hey, we thank you guys for your support, honestly. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nate.
This show wouldn't be nothing without the fans. I swear to God, it would be nothing without the fans and the support. So, yes, thank you.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Yes, Katie.
No, I just want to thank you, Rob.
Oh, no, thank you, Katie. Thank you for coming. All right, we'll talk more. Okay. All right, and then we got one.
Thank you, Rob.
Yes. Dan Lewis here, everybody. Thank you, Ozzy.
Yeah,
hang out. All right, Dan Liu is here. Dan Liu, come on over here.
Towards one of the working
Show some respect for Dan Liu.
Original tribe member here.
Yes.
Wait, one more thing. We got to do something for my Instagram?
Yes, what are we doing for Instagram? We're doing Insta right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Dan Liu is doing an Instagram. We'll keep the show going. All right. And then
yes. Hey, say hi. Cheer, please.
Yes.
There you go.
There we go. We're on Dan Liu's Instagram, everybody.
Exactly.
All right, Dan, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Okay, so I didn't really watch the show. I tried to hear him, but it was like,
yeah,
loud.
There's a lot going on.
But let's talk about old times instead.
Yes. Well, aren't you sad to see our friend Jenna Maraska not on this season?
I know. You know what? One of the best Survivor seasons ever because of you.
Yeah, okay.
And we don't have a representation.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, you should have won, so.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. Thank you. It would have been nice to see Jenna out there. I think she would have been very underestimated as somebody who's coming back. Who else do you know from this cast?
Well, I've pretty much met everyone.
Yeah.
But I want Sandra to win.
Yes. That's.
Yes.
Dan, exactly, smart man. Anybody else that you are close with in this cast?
Oh, in this cast?
Yeah.
Not super close.
Yeah.
But I think they know me.
Yes.
does that count?
I think it counts. And Sandra knows.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's also stay right here. We have one more panel. Okay, come on up and join us here. We have. Oh yeah, where?
Oh my God! Oh my!
All right,
God.
Brendan and Rachel are here.
Hi!
And Shuby. And Eric Stein.
What about you? Rachel.
No, please. Please, it's my 10-year podcast anniversary. Please. Oh my God. Oh my God. How exciting is this? All right. So, first off, let's say, Eric Stein, I can't believe you're here.
Do you see my shirt, Rob?
What is it? AC Slater.
AC Slater, the wrestler, the football player, and the ballet dancer.
Oh,
just
wow.
For you. This is a celebration of 10 years for you, my friend.
Yes, thank you very much.
He's also Paulie's biggest fan.
AC Slater is not crushing it. All right, Brendan and Rachel, are you guys big Survivor fans?
Oh, my, the biggest Survivor fan, actually. Although, I think you guys need to wear more sequins on the island.
More sequins.
That's
sequins
what she's
and
concerned
glitter.
About.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Okay. I want the food.
Okay, and also, we're very excited to have a Survivor super fan here from The Circle. Shubham is here. A.K.A. Shuby.
UCLA.
Yes, and fellow UCLA.
Hey, what up? Yeah.
Yes.
Backstory.
Bruins.
Yes. Now, did you? It seemed like that Shuby was a name that was thrust on you. Do you like Shuby?
The craziest thing is when I grew up, like. Most people call me by my real name, Shubham, but I had the name Shuby, right?
Yeah.
But I went into the show. I didn't tell anyone my name was Shuby, so to have people independently calling me it was...
Message, Shuby!
Yeah. I loved it.
I love you, buddy.
I loved it. It felt
I'm
like...
so excited.
Man.
Yeah.
I loved it, man. It was just... It was interesting independently they came up with it, but I'm not complaining. It was chilling.
Steven, The Circle.
I loved it, yeah. Yeah, but where did Shuby get his inspiration from? That's what I want to know.
Who are you inspired by?
You know what's crazy? No, like, no joke, the craziest thing, like, I'm a huge Big Brother, huge Survivor fan, so, like, my favorite Big Brother players, no joke, were Rachel and Brendan, like...
Whoa!
And I'm not
okay,
just saying,
also, we have a really here. Good story.
Yeah, tell it.
Yes.
No, you tell it, Shuby.
No, you tell it.
Okay, I like to tell stories.
Let it, yeah.
So, okay.
She's shy.
So there's this guy, Merle, who is like this, you know, he's like 70. He's amazing. He has a little dog. He invited Brendan and I to talk at his class. He's a professor at UCLA. And Shuby, no joke, was in his class back when Shuby was just a little undergrad.
What year was it, Shuby?
I think 4 years ago?
4 years
Three.
Ago.
Okay.
Three.
And Brendan and
Seven
I...
7 years ago.
We'd like to call him, you know, we're his mentors.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was sick.
Although Damn, did he didn't play the circle how I would have played.
So where's the story going?
Yeah, where is this going? Okay.
No, I don't know. Maybe I'm really bad at telling stories.
All right. Really bad.
So, Shuby, do you have any favorite Survivor players that are on this season?
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been a Survivor fan since day one. Like, I watched it since I was five. So just to have, like, all the winners there. I mean, I think, like, everyone, the whole cast is just so likable. So as long as it's a good season, which I think it's going to be, that's all you can want. So
I want to give some, before we start to get towards the end of the show, I want to give, if people have any questions, we have time for, do you have time to take fan questions? Okay, all right.
Rob, I have a question.
Yes, Rachel has a question.
Okay, I have a question. So I noticed in the episode, they all said they're afraid to say people's names. Is that different when it's all winners? Because, like, you would think, if I was on a Big Brother winner season, I would be like, vote out that person, vote out that person.
Which name?
Oh, on Big Brother or on Survivor? Oh, I would vote out. Uh-oh. Well, should I say it out loud?
Don't do it. Dun, dun, don't dun, get in trouble.
Yeah, is there like a poker alliance equivalent in Big Brother?
A poker alliance going in?
Like an equivalent. Like
if it was like all winners, yeah, there would be an alliance. Everyone would vote out Rachel.
Yeah, well, it seems like that when they had the Big Brother All-Stars, it was like, oh, well, these people are all on the same season. We have to vote them out. But there's no like, oh, well, these people all hang out outside of the show.
Yeah, I think that's true. Because with Survivor, do you guys all hang out outside of the show? Sandra?
Well, sometimes.
I know all the winners that were there.
Yeah.
Right. See?
Okay.
But I mean, the Eric Stein and Brendan Villegas both bring me Rhapsody.
Alliance is tonight. I am not kidding you.
Big Brother?
This is the thing. These people have relationships outside of the house. It's part of the game. It's part of the live dynamic.
That's why Eric Stein has no friends.
Yeah.
Because
what alliance are you approaching? I was
that way. No, nobody can say he's pre-gaming.
Yeah.
That's smart. Okay, all right, we have some questions here. Is this Alejandro?
Yes.
All right, I won't ask Alejandro to tell the story that he told before. Alejandro, yes.
Yes. I started watching Survivor.
No, you don't have to tell this story.
Oh, I don't.
Okay, you don't have to. Yes.
I don't mind telling it.
No.
I started watching Survivor when I was 13, and I was watching back old seasons and I stumbled upon the Amazon. Rob, you were my first crush I had.
How about that? How about that, Dan Liu?
He was everybody's first crush.
He has good taste.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's going on? What do you want to talk about?
My question was, you know, oftentimes in all-star seasons, we talk about how when winners are coming back, how are they at a disadvantage because they don't know what it feels like being voted out. This time in the cast of all winners, do you think like the first-time winners, that the one-time players like Nick, Sophie, Yule, who won on their first time out and never got a chance to play again, are they at a disadvantage? Because we saw, you know, we saw Sophie, Yule, Adam, Denise kind of replicating things they did in their first game. Yule aligned with like a younger woman and Sophie. Sophie aligned with an older man and Yule. And then obviously the Malcolm 2.0 disaster with Adam and Denise.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering what your opinion on that was.
Yeah, definitely.
Steven? Go ahead.
I definitely think they're at a disadvantage in as much as you don't know the feeling, right? And you saw how completely destabilized Kim was by it, where she had this feeling of, oh, they're out to get me, but she didn't know how to flip it around. And, you know, that I think is a symptom of never having been voted out.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right, I think we have just a couple more minutes. Short question.
Hi, everyone.
Karen from Canada, everybody.
Hey, everybody. I have a question from DJ LaBelle Klein.
Oh.
That's not me. But once the players find out about how fire tokens work and how edge players impact the game, are people going to regret sending Amber to the edge of extinction where she could possibly mine advantages for Rob?
It's possible. It'll be interesting to see like what the competition for the idols and advantages are going to be. Like, is it going to be like are Natalie and Amber going to get along? Are they going to be working against each other to try to see who can get their hands on the advantage? Or are they going to team up to potentially... Steve, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's also interesting to think, like, there's going to be a lot of suspicion back at camp, right? Because you know that when someone is voted out, they're willing their token to someone. So probably everyone is going to assume, oh, Jeremy's got two tokens. Everyone's going to assume, oh, Rob's got two tokens. So, like, that creates an additional threat.
You have any Rob and Amber stories?
Okay, I remember, like, when we went to charity events, right?
Yes.
And this was before they were going out.
Yes.
And I remember Rob was just...
being robbed. He's going crazy, you know? seriously, right? Sandra, hey. Do you remember that?
Yeah. She didn't play yet.
No, but right after.
Yeah.
But this was before they were going out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And when they got together, I was, like, very surprised. I was like, wow. Because they knew each other for at least a couple of years.
They knew each other. Yeah.
And also, too, like, they've been with other.
Okay. All right. All right. Jessica Frey is here, everybody.
I'll end it right there.
Jessica Frey is here. Yes.
Hi. Okay, yeah. Well, I actually was going to ask the question before. I thought it was a really good question. But I guess right now I'd probably just ask, like, of the alliances we've seen so far in the two episodes, which one do you guys think is the strongest and has, like, the best chance of actually being, like, going all the way to the end or going pretty far?
Eric, do you have want to call a shot on this?
I came in late.
Came in late. Steven, what alliance do you think has the best chance of sticking?
My mic's not working. Oh,
you're good.
Gosh, what do you think? You know, give me a second.
I would say that it seems like the stragglers, I don't think they have a name yet. This isn't Big Brother where we have named alliances yet.
No alliance names.
Yeah. I think that the Yule, Sophie, Nick, and Wendell seems like that's the alliance that has the best chance to stick for right now. Okay, what do you think, Shuby?
Oh,
you got the microphone? Okay, he didn't get there till late.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. All right. Last question. Here comes Josh. Okay.
I know their alliance name.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right. So we might get an exclusive later. Yes.
All right. I have a question about the evolution of Parvati's flirting.
Yes.
I noticed in the first episode, she was talking about how she was going to, you know, bond with the other parents about her kids. So is Parvati now mom flirting?
Is that a word? Where you make friends with other moms?
Hey, that's a real thing. I go on mom dates. This is a real thing. Yeah, mom flirting.
Eric,
mom dates.
Is this a real thing?
Yes.
Eric, is this a real thing?
I've gone on some mom dates.
Heyo.
All right,
I'll be here until tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay, hold on.
I'll be here all week, folks.
Okay.
No, literally, he's all
right.
here all week.
All right. You guys still alive out there? Are you guys ready to go home yet or no? No. Okay. All right, we're gonna hang out for a while tonight. You're gonna hang out for a while?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're gonna hang out until Rob and Steven are on Second Chances.
We'll be hanging out for a while.
It's not that great. I've been there.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Wait, before we never got a chance to talk about that second vote, I wanted to say, I mean, she's in the audience. I thought Sandra did, and I'm not pandering, I thought she did such an incredible job with, like, sowing chaos, using the power.
Give her a fishy.
Yeah, no, she gets the second fishy for sure.
Oh.
I thought that was such an awesome way of just, like, wreaking chaos on all of these people who are already paranoid. It was so fun to watch her stir the pot, and it's an honor to, you know, to award you this fishy in person. So, yeah.
Right. Did not even get a vote.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got, if you had fun tonight, we are going to have another Los Angeles show, a little bit more of a proper show in a theater, on March 11th in North Hollywood. We'll be at the El Portal Theater. I believe it's the Debbie Reynolds Theater in North Hollywood. March 11th. Go to, what is it, robiswebsite.com/events.
Yep, and tickets are still available.
Tickets are available for our March 11th show. And then I also will have a blog that Steven isn't blogging anymore. There's such a vacuum for great blogs about Survivor. I'll have a blog about this episode up on etonline.com.
Wow.
All right.
Phone home.
Okay, phone home. all right. Thank you so much, everybody who was here. We started this night. This was a rowdy night on the Know-It-Alls, but we started here. It is. We started here before 5 o'clock. It's 11:33. We have been going for 6.5 hours.
It's podcast.
What?
And only one man could do it. It's Rob Sesternino, 10th anniversary.
Thank you. We hope. hope you had fun. Hope everybody at home enjoyed this. Took this one with a grain of salt. It's been a crazy night. I will be with I have a podcast with Tina Wesson to recap it all back in the studio tomorrow. On the feedback show, Elaine Stott will be our guest this weekend. Don't miss This Week in Survivor and the return of the Wiggle Room. Get your wand offs in. Stephen Fishback, what else can we say?
We said it's good.
Thanks to all our guests. I'm so excited. We didn't get to spend enough time with anybody, but really appreciate everybody who came out to spend time with us tonight.
But Eric Stein and I will be singing a Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh! Karaoke is happening? Over. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? All right, Dan Lou, it's so great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Brendan and Rachel, Eric Stein, my man. Shuby.
My man.
Thanks to everybody over at BuzzFeed. And of course, if you want to be here with us in person, the best way to do it, to get all the information about all of our live shows, robhasawebsite.com/patron. We've got so many hours of podcasting coming your way this season for Survivor Winners at War, including the new patron-only Survivor pregame show coming to Wednesday night. robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Good night.
Wrap it up.